brings us a message. So let's remember our brother Marvin as he brings us a message this evening. Brother Marvin.
Well, it is nice to be here, if I'm only half here. But it's nice to have brothers and sisters and that pray for us. You know, we need to pray for one another at all times because, you know, like they of old, they needed prayers for one another. We need prayers for one another. And you know, there was a dream by Placido many years ago. He seen this tree and the flowers were on it. You know, they were dropping them flowers. And the Spirit let him know that those were prayers that were offered up for the saints, one for another. The Lord does hear them. And we stand in need of those prayers at all times. So we'll commence here on page 21 here in the Book of Mormon. I'll start here and read a few verses. I'll begin with verse 65. Now this is Lehi's dream, and he goes on to explain. And I saw numerous concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led under the tree by which I stood. And you know that's true then, it's true today. But you know, by the skullduggery of Satan, people don't always find the correct trail. They want to come to the Lord, but the temptations of the adversary is blinding their eyes. And it come to pass that they did come forth and commence in the path which led to the tree. And it come to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even exceeding great mist or darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, and they wandered off and were lost. And it come to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they come forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press forward through the mist or darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And that's the way we have to do. Too many people don't. We got preachers of the world. They're on TV and everything else. I don't know what all preachers are today. I don't have a TV to listen to them or that. So, but you know, they're busy. They lead them away. They blind their eyes. That mist of darkness, that's them. They blind the eyes of the people that are honestly seeking. And they go into these other byways. And goes into these other churches, which is not of the Lord. But those that hold to that rod of iron and don't let go of it, all is well with them. They come to that tree of life. Verse 68 here, I'll start. And it come to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they come forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And also cast my eyes round about, and behold, on the other side of the river of water, a great and spacious building, and it stood, as it were, in the air, high above the earth. You know, that makes it high above the earth, that it's pride. You know, as Bob was speaking about this morning, you know, love. You know, you can't have that pride. It's got to be out of your heart. And so that which puts it up in the air like that is pride. And it stood, as it were, in the air, high above the earth, and was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And true it is, you know, it's got all of the, so many of the people there, and some of them seem to be happy. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those which had come at and were partaken of the fruit. And I'm satisfied everybody here has run into this situation where somebody has made fun of the church that you go to and this Book of Mormon and ridiculed it and tried to get you to turn away from it. I've had them do that with me, and they're just as sure as can be. But, you know, their eyes are darked. They don't see correctly. They miss the darkness. Verse 75, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing the fingers towards those which had come out and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those who were scoffing at them, and they fell away in the forbidden path and were lost. You ever seen that happen? Well, I have, and I'm sure you have too, seen where those in the church have walked away. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short and right, and behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward continually, holding fast to the rod of iron until they come forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And you know that fruit of the tree, that's the Holy Ghost. You know, they can't receive it in other churches at all. You must have that authority from Christ. And he has his organization. It's called Church of Christ. This Church of Christ only. No other churches in the world has that authority to convert the Holy Ghost. And so that's what that fruit is. You know, it's there's 9 spiritual gifts, and all of them belong with that get coming from the Lord through the Holy Ghost. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those which were scoffing at them, and they fell away in the forbidden path and were lost. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short and right, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward, continually holding to the rod of iron till they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And he also saw others, multitudes, feeling their way towards that great and spacious building. And we have a rehash of that going on today. There are those that are coming to the Church of Christ. Why, we don't seem to make much headway here, but still, in other places, you know, we're gathering members into the church. Then they're rejoicing over it. And so we do need the prayers, you know. Satan is busy blinding the eyes of the people so they don't see the way. They don't hold to that rod of iron as they should. What do they hold to? They hold to the word of man is what they do. I talk to some people from time to time, and they quote these modern authors. And it's amazing what they do preach. But you know, they preach up their own learning. They preach for money. Believe it or not, they're out there for the money. And so they lead people away, and a lot of people, you know, don't know. I know I was raised in a Protestant church, and never even knew this church existed until some years later. But the Lord is merciful to me and brought me into it. I'm very happy. Now I'm very happy. I've been rather a disgrace to him, I'm sure, but I still want to praise him and glorify his name. I want to turn over to page 32 here and read a little bit more. Verse 32, and I'll read on 124 and read through a few of them. And the angel spake unto me, saying, Behold, the fountain of filthy water which thy father saw, even the river of which he spake, and the depths thereof are the depths of hell. In the midst of darkness are the temptations of the devil, which blindeth the eye and hardeneth the heart of the children of men, and leadeth them away into broad ways, that they may perish and are lost. You know, some years ago I heard a fellow, he said he had a dream, you know, for an example, it was kind of like the interstate, you know, you got the main road to follow on, but you got all these roads, every once in a while they lead off. They don't go ahead straight to where it should go. And that's the way it is here. You know, they're led off into broad roads, different ways, not knowing. Some of the people that they speak to them, you might say itchy ears. And they kind of believe sometimes what the people say. They're very convincing, some of them. In verse 126, And the large and spacious building which thy father saw is vain imagination and pride of the children of men. And a great and a terrible gulf divideth them, yea, even the word of the justice of the eternal God, and Jesus Christ, which is the Lamb of God, of whom the Holy Ghost beareth from the beginning of the world until this time, and from this time henceforth and forever. And so we have the Holy Ghost to direct and guide us, you know, from time to time. The Lord touches your heart, doesn't he, and give you understanding of the scriptures on some things that you didn't quite understand. I know he does. He does for me. If he does that for me, he'll surely do it for you, my brothers and sisters. As you search the scriptures, you wonder about some of those things. But you know, as it says here, midst of darkness are the temptations of the devil. And you know, we run into that all the time. He works upon you and I all the time to lead us away into foreign paths, to do something that we shouldn't, right on the spur of the moment. Just like Peter, you know, when Jesus was there and told him that before the day was over, shortly, he would deny him three times. Peter says, oh no, oh no. See the temptations of the adversary that fell upon Peter at that time. How easy he tripped himself up. Do you do the same? Well, I've done the same. And very easily, very cleverly, does the adversary blind our eyes and trip us, and we get hurt. And so people are blinded, never realizing that they are blinded. I'd like to go over into the book of Hebrews for just a little bit, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, in verse 12, we'll read a couple of verses. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Fall of peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. But as it says here, make straight paths for your feet, you know. For the lame leg will not always want to carry you on in that straight path. You want to step aside and maybe wander away or whatever. It's temptations of the adversary that are working. And he works upon people to lead them astray so that they're not following the Lord as they should. And we have to be very careful about that. And so, but anyway, that blindness of mind and that, it happens to us. Look at our membership we had this morning. Look how many we got now. You know, if all of our members that we had on the roll call were here, we'd have a full church. But what happens? Well, that lame leg leads them away. The temptations of Satan, the blindness of our eyes are darkened. And we don't attend church as we would. You know, the Lord said, thou shalt attend off. I had one fellow tell me, and I asked the fellow, I says, why is it you don't come to church? Well, he said, there's some people there I really don't care for. Well, is that what the way of the Lord said to do? No, not at all. It says we should hold to that rod of iron. And when we quit going to church, we skip church. Maybe there's a favorite program on TV or something that we want to watch and we just don't go to church, or might be a speaker somebody don't like or whatever. Are we keeping the commandments of God as we should? You know, the Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That if you love me not, you will not keep my commandments. The commandments are that we attend church. Now, in all the years that I've been here, I want to speak about faithful little Johnny and Enid. They're always to church. Unless they're sick, they're vacation, or something like that. He's not off working on Sunday or doing anything. He's here. He's always been faithful. And that's the way we are. He sets a good example for us all. And so we shouldn't skip and not come to church. Do you think those that skip church don't come very often, that they're keeping the commandments of God? Well, I think they probably think so, but they're not. They're not keeping the commandments of God. And so we should be here at all times to hear the word of God, to humble ourselves, and to pray for one another as we do in our prayer service, that we pray for one another, those that are sick and the afflicted. But we should look at Johnny and Enid and see the perfect example they've set before us in attending church. Very carefully they have. I'd like to go over in the book of Luke, 22nd chapter. And I'll read on verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But the Lord says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now here's what Satan's wanting to do to all of us. You know, he can blind our eyes and get us to skip church, not go to church or something for some reason. But you know, when we're sick, not here, that's one thing. When we're on vacation, we're not able to be here. It's just like Joni's not here this night, but Jeannie is. Jeannie wasn't here this morning because she was taking care of their sick mother. So they wasn't all able. But you know, when everything goes well there, they're here in church. And so this is what Satan does. He desires to have us and sift us as wheat, you know. And we're not quite aware of it, and we're thinking, well, it won't matter whether I go or not. You know, I believe in the Lord and such and all. I search the scriptures now and then. But, you know, we are not keeping the commandments of God when we are not in church as we should be, in prayer service and all of them, that we lift up our voice to the Lord. Not only do we need to do that, when we're not here, we need to be like faithful Daniel. You know, 3 days, three times a day, he was busy praying to the Lord. And, you know, even though there was that opposition against him, he was still faithful in doing that. I'd like to turn over to page 154 here in the Book of Mormon. And I'll read two verses, 24 and 25. Behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men. Now that's speaking of Satan. And stir them up to anger against that which is good. And, you know, that's what he's doing today. The world is just coming apart. Evil is just coming out of the woodwork. And he is. He knows his time is short. And others will he pacify and lure them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospers, all is well. Well, when we're not faithful to the Lord, all is not well. We might think it is, but we're only blindsiding ourselves. Those temptations of Satan, they work upon us, and they give us troubles. I'd like to go over to page 651 here in the Book of Mormon. Verse 50, I'll read a verse or two. And it come to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptations. And that's what happens, you know. People quit calling upon the Lord, and their mind becomes darkened a little bit. They don't search the scriptures. They don't fellowship with one another. The minds, the temptations have overtaken them. And as I said, he works on everybody here. There's nobody exempt that he doesn't work on. For Satan desires to have you. He sure does. He wants everybody. He's miserable. He wants everybody to be miserable as well. Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, you must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you should receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, and your wives and your children may be blessed. Behold, you shall meet together oft, and you shall not forbid any man from coming unto you, when you shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. And that's what we are to do. We're not to chase the people away, but that they come. They're welcome. But they find this Book of Mormon a very strange book to them. Their minds are darkened towards it. Satan has closed their minds to the goodness of this book, so that they can only speak evil of it. So Satan is clever. You know, his time is short as well. And he wants you miserable. That's what he wants. I want to back up here in the Book of Mormon, page 429. But it's just like we had a song here a little bit ago. All year round, we have an anchor in Jesus Christ. Well, we do. A wonderful anchor. He's always there for us if we will but come to him and seek him out humbly as we should. Strip ourselves of that pride. On 429, I'll read here on verse 219. Yea, humble yourself and continue and pray unto him. Cry unto him when you are in their field. Yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your house. Yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. That's what we need to do. You know, it's easy enough as we go about our activities to say a silent prayer to the Lord for help and guidance. It's an easy thing to do if we do it. Over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Now, we all have a lot of enemies in the world that won't accept this book, won't accept this church, and they reject us. They are our enemy. Cry unto him over the crops of your field, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase. And this is not all. You must pour out your soul in your closet, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually, for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. You know, I pray for my neighbors that all will be well there. You know, I think I have some pretty good neighbors. And I do pray for them that all will be well with them, that there will be no contention and strife and all of that. But, you know, the adversary works on all people. And he wants conflict, turmoil, hate, and all of that. I'd like to go back into the Bible here, Matthew. Twenty-sixth chapter and verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Now this here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, they've just had their supper. The guards and the enemy hasn't come for him just yet. But you know, he's in there and he goes pray. And I'll read verse 40 again. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, human beings, we sometimes get lazy in a way. Here they were tired, and so they went to sleep. They didn't pray. They let it go by. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now see, temptations are there. They wasn't praying. And it's easy to get sidewinded in these things. Just like that, it happens to us in life. We sometimes take a left step or two and something that we shouldn't have. And so we are to pray constantly for the Lord for help and guidance. Give him that honor and glory that we should. You can do it in fasting as well. That's something that we should all do now and then at their own time and leisure, and seek the Lord out. You know, in Romans, I think in the 13th chapter, and about the 12th, 8th verse, or somewhere along there, it says, love worketh no evil. Love seeketh no evil. And that is true. Love is what we all should have in our heart, just as Bob listed a bunch of things here this morning. We need to have those things, be aware of them, that they don't creep in and do that which we should not, and follow the ways of the world. And so, love worketh no evil to his neighbor. And when we love one another, you know, we're here. We help one another. We pray for one another. And we support one another. Our prayer is, I'm sure, for everybody, that the Lord will touch the hearts of the people of the world and they'd turn unto him. But you know, the Lord does not take away your free agency. Never has and never will. You can do as you want. If you remember the time of the flood, there was a great many destroyed, was there not? They rejected their Lord. And there was only 8 saved. Quite a destruction there. But he does not take away your free will to do that which is right or anybody else's. He wants you to be humble, meek, and lowly of heart. Pray to him for all of the things you need in your brothers and sisters as well. Thank you.